It is the Morning Tailgate, Raider Nation Radio, on a Tuesday. Hour number one, Vinny Vincent Clay. You know, 2 days removed does feel a little different. What a difference a week makes, though. We're at Tuesday, and all the calls and everything we got a week ago, we were fast forward to Thursday, weren't we, Clay? It felt different.
Yep.
A little slower.
No time for the waiting around for the news. It's happening right in front of you.
As we said on Monday, a bit of a dreary Monday as we were trudging through the start of the work week, trying to pick up the pieces of what we saw Sunday at Allegiant Stadium, a 36-22 beatdown by the Carolina Panthers. And now the Raiders continue to look for answers, as they did Sunday into Sunday night and into Monday. Now, the big topic Sunday night was the business decisions. Business decisions were made, Vinny, and Antonio Pierce vowed business decisions would be made. Now, when he met with the media on Monday, we're going to hear a bit of his sound later today. Those business decisions were not quite yet made because he said he had not yet spoken with the players. But it was one of purpose in terms of he stood by it. He said, I don't bite my tongue. He also gave a couple other updates. Marcus Epps did not have an update for us, but there are reports that
he's out.
It is a torn ACL, and he is out for the season, which is a tough week.
Malcolm Kuntz, officially, we all knew that, but yeah.
A tough blow for the Raiders, defense, specifically in the Raiders secondary, because he has been
a leader.
One of those.
He's a glue guy.
100% snappers, too. I mean, just a guy you can rely on and count on and be there. The other big takeaway from Monday, which we're going to dive into, no doubt, is when asked about the quarterback position, everything seems to be on the table. There was no commitment behind one Gardner Minshew, but there was no statement saying a change would be made, which leaves us all to question and ask, what will Sunday against the Cleveland Browns look like? Where do you want to start, Vinny?
Well, it's going to be Gardner Minshew. There's no question about that. For whatever reason, Antonio Pierce left that open yesterday when we spoke to him and asked him specifically about that. But at least through my reporting, it feels like it's going to be Gardner. They're not going to make a change for this week. I would say that he's on notice probably. You know, they can't keep going. What do we say that they've lost 10 of 12 quarters? Would you say this year, if you want to give them the fourth quarter Sunday, just to be on the real side?
If I'm being conservative, I'd say they lost 10 of 12.
Yeah, exactly. So that cannot continue. That's not sustainable. So I think that Gardner probably needs a bounce back game, and nobody's blaming him for everything. But you know, at some point, you got to be able to rely on your quarterback to get you out of trouble, to be a quarterback that's going to lead an offense that can win more than 10 of 12 quarters to start the season. So, maybe Aiden O'Connell, who looked pretty good when he came in there. Now, there's obviously there's context and perspective to that. The Panthers were by no means trying to do anything other than play some prevent defense at that point. So that obviously helped Aiden O'Connell, but so it doesn't look like there's going to be a quarterback change. By the way, I was just looking at the CBS NFL rankings. The Raiders dropped 16 spots to number 30, so they're ranked number 30, just ahead of the Titans and the Jaguars. And at this point, I would say that's justified. At the risk of disrespecting anybody, I think that that's justified. I think the performance that they put out there on Sunday, which was just a embarrassing loss on every level. And don't take my word for that. Just listen to what Antonio Pierce continues to say about his thoughts about that loss. And they deserve every amount of quote-unquote disrespect that they're getting right now, including being considered one of the worst teams in the league. They've got to dig themselves out of a hole, whether it's from a record perspective or a perception record. And if you want people to start talking better about you, go out there and prove it. Go out there and back that up and give them reasons to talk better about you.
Jason Fitz of Yahoo Sports will join us in the 8 o'clock hour. And you talk about a guy who provides a punch of positivity when it comes to silver and black. Jason Fitz is the man to do it, Clay. And I'm curious to see what his tune sounds like on a day like today, just days removed from maybe one of the ugliest losses I've seen covering the team.
He's going to be questioning, you know, really the proof of concept on offense. And if that doesn't get figured out against the Cleveland Browns, then really you're going to see kind of a spiral going in of, like, there's doubt on every side of the ball. And you have to go and find a way to go and resurrect the offense against one of the league's best defenses.
702-365-9200, 702-365-9200. We had a bevy of calls yesterday, so much so they were lining up before the show. Yep. I'm sure there was some after the show, so if you didn't get in yesterday or you just want to continue the conversation, let's hear it today. Hit us up on the Dollar Loan Center text line as well. And Vinny, to your point, if any of these guys are still looking at rankings or talking about rankings, then they're clearly not hearing the message from Antonio Pierce, because we've got to move on from rankings, because we're week three, moving on to week four. He just suffered the worst loss arguably of the NFL season, probably to some. And I keep saying pick up the pieces, but I mean, this is a broken team right now in terms of your head coach is talking about business decisions. We still don't know what those new decisions will look like this coming week. All of a sudden, as I know what you're reporting, and I would agree with you in terms of Gardner Minshew, but the door has been left open.
Yeah.
We talked about a month ago, what kind of leash is Gardner Minshew on? And people got a little upset shortly after the starting quarterback was named when I said, I have no doubt we're going to see both quarterbacks at some point in the season. And it was a bit of a blowback, but here we are now, week three, where the door is now open, seemingly, and Gardner is, as you said, on notice. But to Antonio's point, the entire team seems to be on notice as well.
Yeah, and Clay, I'm glad you mentioned both sides of the ball, because, oh, by the way, the Raiders defense is the 27th worst defense in the NFL.
Brutal.
In points. All right, so let's we keep blaming the offense, and the defense really hasn't. Aside from that, they've played well at times for sure, but they didn't play well.
They've played well in pockets.
In pockets.
In more pockets than the offense, but still pockets nonetheless is not going to get the job done, clearly.
No, and when given the opportunity to just make a statement to start Sunday's game against the Carolina Panthers shoved it up their ear into the opening drive, and it was never good from that point on. So we'll start there. Number two. Name me one other coach outside of maybe Dave Canales in Carolina, which I think he feels pretty good now about where he is at quarterback. Name me one other coach in the NFL, aside from that situation, where you were to ask them yesterday after the third week of the season, you know, are you thinking about making a quarterback decision or change? And that coach said, well, let me talk to my players first. Name me any other coach besides Antonio Pierce that's even thinking along those lines, which tells you where the Raiders are in their quarterback situation right now. And this is not to blame Gardner Minshew for what has or has not happened, but he's part of the problem. And so, like you said,
he's not part of the solution. Because if he was part of the solution, it wouldn't be a question.
It wouldn't even be a question. You're right, absolutely. And B, there's no way that Antonio he'd look at you like,
he'd say Gardner's our quarterback.
Obviously,
move
I'm
on.
Not thinking about yeah. making a quarterback change right
Moving
now.
On.
But the fact that he even didn't say that is indication that it's at least in the on the radar, potentially. And so that's not going to happen this week. But I do wonder if there's a similar performance on Sunday where that ends up going. Because we said, from the very beginning, all right, Gardner Minshew's the starting quarterback. Whether it was Gardner, whether it was Aiden O'Connell, to me, now go take the first month of the season to prove that you're that guy. That's really what it was always going to boil down to, because it's so hard during the preseason. It was impossible for me to pick which one out of those two should have been the starting quarterback during training camp. Maybe a smidgen for Gardner Minshew, but it wasn't like either one of them ran away with it. And quite frankly, they both had moments of just it just doesn't look good in training camp, that you kind of had to settle for one or the other. Let's be honest about that. Like, I was there every single day, and like, there were too many days where you're like, wow, this doesn't look good. Now you wow, the defense looks great, Max Crosby's in the backfield, you know, almost on every play. How can you really judge this? So between that, between how not so good they looked in training camp, neither one of them looked great in the preseason. So handing the job, it almost felt like by default which meant that now you got to see it in the regular season. Whoever that starting quarterback's going to be has to prove it during the regular season. And as of right now, I don't think Gardner Minshew has proven it beyond a reasonable doubt that he should be the starting quarterback.
I've been of the notion that it was always going to be a month.
Yeah.
No matter how bad it looked, and I'll be honest, the offense has looked much worse than I thought it could have even been. So I think I would not be shocked if we're talking about Aiden heading into week five going into Denver. I just wouldn't. And I felt that way at the start. I felt that I was a little surprised when Aiden wasn't put in earlier in the game, to be honest, okay. in week three. And then the fact that he came in, look, I take whatever he did in that final drive in terms of mop-up duty is with a grain of salt. But what I don't take with a grain of salt, what I think is a real thing, his connection with Trey Tucker, I mean, it was very evident, very obvious. They were every target was a
didn't he throw
good
to,
clean connection.
Did he get one to Michael Mayer? I think he had a throw to Michael Mayer too, which is also a little bit of a connection from last year as well. So I'd have to look back. I thought I remember looking up and seeing 87 grab a pass. During that sequence. But yeah, you know, I just feel like he's got the bigger arm. Like I would have gone with Aiden O'Connell just based on what he did last year and the connection that he had, like you just said, with Trey Tucker, and there was some building of with Michael Mayer. And
there was a target to Michael Mayer. It was incomplete. He had a couple to Jacoby Myers that were clean as well.
Right.
So the connections, they look good. They looked like they were on the same page. Again, mop-up duty, the defense not doing what the defense was doing early in the game. We get all that.
Yeah. And they ran a no-huddle, which was a little different.
Yeah. The urgency was picked up. I told you the urgency really picked up in the game for me when it was, I believe it was that third, the third quarter drive where Gardner gets sacked. He runs for the first down. The spot is ill placed, poorly placed, misplaced. I was trying to give a little more extra. Yeah. It was misplaced. And instead of taking a beat, the Raiders wanted to up the urgency and just we can get a quarterback sneak and Gardner gets stuffed. And that wasn't the beginning of the end. That was just more of the end.
But describe the end.
Yeah. So you talk about the urgency. I loved it. I love seeing the no huddle stuff. Why? Because there looked for the first time in the game, there was a rhythm. There was some kind of rhythm. What did Devontae say? The first thing he said in his scrum, don't have rhythm.
Zero rhythm to this offense.
I mean, the only time we saw any rhythm was the fourth quarter with Aiden O'Connell in week three and the fourth quarter against Baltimore with Gardner.
And I know that Luke Getsy is a point of contention with fans. But what we talk about last week, how this part of the season – especially for the Raiders with a new offense and a new quarterback. This is a discovery phase. I think he's still kind of grasping for straws on what this team can and cannot do. When you can't run the ball, when you can't control the line of scrimmage, when you're just getting your butt whipped at that level of your offense, it's hard to – you might have concepts of an answer, but I don't know that you have answers. And it looks like he's trying to find – something that can consistently work, but that's hard to do when the offensive line hasn't given you really any confidence to be able to do that. You were talking, Clay, about, you know, Jaden Daniels, who looked spectacular, by the way, last night. And we were talking about the long balls, which he threw some beautiful long balls last night, but and also just their offense being able to execute some of those swing passes and those short passes that were going for big yards. Why? Because the execution was there. And it's not just Jaden Daniels and whoever he's throwing to. It's the wide receivers making their blocks. It's the offensive line getting out there and getting the convoy going for whoever it is and making their blocks and opening up holes. There were times where there wasn't a Washington Commander would catch the ball and there would be like wide open gaping holes for them. Now part of that might have been the Bengals as well. But I thought it was execution more than anything.
Me too.
And so you can blame the coach all you want, but the execution and maybe that's the teaching part of it. I don't know what it is, but the execution part of it especially at the point of attack, has been extremely shaky for the Raiders. So I feel like Luke Getsy is only, like I said, grasping at straws to figure out what actually does work around here. And nothing really has consistently, and that goes to Davante Adams' no rhythm. You can't get a rhythm if there's nothing that you can truly hang your hat on and do consistently well.
Man.
And people are, oh, we could have had Cliff Kingsbury. Do you think that Cliff Kingsbury right now with the same execution level would be making that big of a difference?
When we look at this team and this offensive line, we've talked about it for 2 weeks now. I'm talking
goes back live, to training camp for me.
But I'm talking about live NFL reps. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing against the opposing team. Scheming, execution, adjustments. That's what I'm talking about. In these 2 weeks, now a third game. The amount of just getting beat off the ball. One-on-ones.
Right.
And while there's plenty of scheme and there's plenty of strategy and traps and different kind of blocking techniques that we've seen, and some, you know, they get paid too over there, but just the one-on-ones, the number of times everyone on the line has been beaten is astonishing.
Right.
It's astonishing.
I had a great offensive mind tell me when he was the offensive coordinator of a certain team, he goes to the head coach with his, the game plan. And the head coach is like, well, what about this play, this play, this play? This is, they had like 8 or 9 plays that weren't in the.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I had to look at him and say, coach, we can't block those plays. They're useless to us right now.
Right.
If we can't protect it and block it. And right now, I think the Raiders, like I said, they keep trying to do certain things and find something that works. Like I said, there's concepts of an answer. But there haven't been answers because it ultimately comes down to, can you execute it? And right now, they're just not executing at a high enough level. To your point, they're losing one-on-one battles. The communication hasn't been stellar either.
And that's what it all boils down to at the end of the day. Again,
execution.
It's the execution, but, part of our jobs is to kind of help read through the lines, right, of what Antonio says or what these coaches say. We do our reporting, can talk to guys off to the side to see kind of what's really going on. But when you really boil it down, what did Antonio Pierce say on Monday? I don't bite my tongue.
Right.
I don't bite my tongue. And he's a guy that's transparent. He always has been. Likely always will be, which I think is fantastic
for sure.
In the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Because you know where he stands. That being said, when he sits there and says, going to pull the sleds out. We're going to start hitting. When Eric Allen, Raiders legend, who's in that building, who talks to those players, when we ask him, like, what does this week look like for the Raiders team? He goes, I would anticipate a lot of live scrimmages. I would anticipate a lot of, he didn't say wars, but just in terms of battles. Like, what do coaches always want to do when things go terrible? Back to basics, right? Mm-hmm. They say the word fundamentals. Fans always hear the word fundamentals. Maybe they don't quite understand what that means. Sometimes that just means lining up one-on-one, seeing who wins.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you're doing that in week three is an obvious problem. But when you talk about finding a solution, you gave that example of the offensive coordinator telling the coach, we can't block these plays. Well, how do we get better at it? You go back to the bare bones, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you go back to essentially training camp. You go back to training camp type work. And
which, by the way.
And you talk, but real quick, just, and you pair that now with an old school coach who says, we're going back to basics, right? We're going to go back to fundamentals. We are going to get the sleds out, training camp type stuff. This is a day after he goes, guys made business decisions in terms of necessarily not going full bore. So, if they weren't spotted on the film, is what I'm saying, how do you think they're going to react this week of practice?
Well, and to add another little monkey wrench in all that, your star defensive end is battling with an ankle injury. Tyree Wilson is still dealing with a knee injury. You're down a safety and a defensive lineman for the season. Your right tackle had to limp off the field, never came back, so he's hurt. So now you want to go back to basics and be all physical, which I get, and maybe that is needed. But at the same time, you're a mass unit in certain ways at certain positions. Your depth's being tested along the defensive line and now at safety. At linebacker, you know, Divine Diablo with the concussion, and I forget what the other injury, oblique. He's banged up. So again, not good at all that you have to even revert back to that at this point in the season, where so much of what you do moving forward is kind of above the shoulders. You just want to be able to mentally get it and then go out there and execute it on Sunday and not have to put the players through taxing workouts that can either, re-hurt guys or hurt guys. You know, it's just not a good situation. And it's not all that surprising in certain ways for anyone that was there during training camp to see kind of where this offense was from an execution standpoint.
702-365-9200. Taking your calls coming up.
So we discussed that. We talked about the physicality. Talked about, you know, Andy Dalton and his efficiency. Getting the ball out quick, understand the offense. Just kind of looking back, I think all of us, myself, the staff, you know. You know, it's just got to be better. It's got to be better.
We're back here on the Morning Tailgate. Thank you for being with us. Vince Sapienza, Vinny Bonsignore, Clay Baker, 702-365-9200. You hear Antonio Pierce there, exasperated at the end. Like, even he is just like, yeah. I'm answering the question, but even the answers coming out of my heart, that they're not happy ones. I got to control myself right here.
How could he?
Because he looked like he was about ready to explode.
Man. Well, I thought he was about ready to shed a tear. Yeah, it was like
who does not mince words and a man that usually does not run out of things to say. He was at a loss right there. But Clay, what was that music coming in? I thought I was at a roller rink back in third grade.
And we tried to do the Funk Tuesdays.
That was
we tried to bring the funk on Tuesdays, and then remember last week we did the Carlito's Way soundtrack.
That's right. Oh yeah, I haven't watched a
morphs
movie
into the disco era. I'm going around the club playing Humphrey Bogart.
This was seen so from semi-pro.
Yeah, we're gonna make it in there. 702-365-9200. People were trying to get in. They couldn't get in yesterday. They want to get in now, and we see it up on the text line. Even 805 Raiders, like, changing quarterbacks, definitely not the answer. The offensive line's not playing well. And why did JPJ play at right guard, left guard is the glaring need? You know, there's still a lot of questions to be had about what people saw on Sunday.
Well, let's get into that real quick before we get into the calls, just so we can answer the text line. So I went back and watched, and JPJ did get in a few times. They felt like random times. Again, I'm sure there was a plan. But he played 21 snaps, which was 33% of the offensive snaps. Sunday, week three, played a couple special team snaps as well. Again, the confusion I believe the nation have is why right guard. Dylan Parham has been your highest rated offensive lineman through 3 weeks. I understand that he showed up on the injury report leading into week three. I understand that. But if he was going to play the game, and the times in which Dylan came out of the game, which was late, where the game was over, why is he going back in? If it really was something about the foot or the injury there, then Dylan just wouldn't go back in the game, right? That's the assumption or the presumption on our end. The other question is Cody Whitehair has been replaced already
once,
this season.
Once, yep.
Already this season. So you would think, and where Jackson Paris Johnson has lined up all training camp, when he was able to practice, was at left guard. That's where the questions start to come in, is what is really the plan here, and where's the plan coming from? Is this coming from players? Is this coming from the coaches in terms of the conversation of not being ready to play? Can you play? I mean, these are all the valid questions that many are asking. We're not questioning anybody's this. We are not saying business and decisions
No.
In this aspect, we are simply asking the question: why right guard? Why didn't he start? Right. Why not left guard? And those are the answers we don't have.
I re-asked that question to Antonio yesterday, and he answered it to the best of his ability, just trying to get Jackson Powers Johnson on the field. But again, why at right guard?
But he said that was the plan.
But
right?
Do we have that question?
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear it, because I want to hear back that answer actually.
No, we're trying to get him on the field. And that was really – that might be a one-time deal. It might be going forward, but just trying to get him on the field. And, again, trying to find the best five offensive linemen with, you know, continuity and chemistry and, you know, obviously protect the quarterback and run the football.
But how do you find continuity if you're just constantly rotating?
But what about – it might be a one-time thing or it might be – what does it say? One more time?
No, just we're trying to get him on the field. And that was really – that might be a one-time deal. It might be going forward, but just trying to get him on the field and –
I don't know.
I mean, if anybody out there can decipher that, by all means.
Is it a one-time deal, meaning that rotation there or whatever you want to call it at right guard, or that right guard might be what he's going to be playing moving forward? Is that what that means, like, you know, moving forward? Or do you just put him at left guard, which is where everyone assumed that he was going to
be this year? Yeah. It's where they practice and where he was put
it's
on the depth chart.
It's where the bigger need appears to be.
And if you're looking at your best five, Parham's got to be in that mix too.
Right.
Well, that's the other part when you're trying to find the best five guys. Don't take out the best rated lineman on your team right now. That's the confusion. That's the confusion we have going forward. Last thing I'll say before we get the calls, DJ Glaze looked pretty good.
Pretty good.
Looked pretty good.
Yeah, looked pretty good for a first time out for sure.
Being thrust into a spot.
Totally.
Yep, didn't disappoint. Played okay.
Yeah.
702-365-9200.
We'll take that. Yeah. The Raiders will take that.
Don't
right
get it. Like, yeah, you get a gold star for okay. From the 916, it's been a while for Raider Greg. Glad you joined us. Thanks for doing it again.
Vinny, Vince, Clay, my guy, the dream team, as I call it. It's a pleasure to talk to you, brothers. How you doing?
Morning, Greg.
Likewise,
Greg.
Man.
Man, it's been a while. As you know, Vinny, I'm kind of a glass half full, but a realist when it comes to my team.
I try
to listen more than I talk. So, you know, but I always want to give a half full part of it. This is how I look at it, guys. You know, if you look at on the half full way, if you look at the AFC conference right now, out of the 16 teams, 10 of them are 1-2 or worse, right? The six teams that are at the top, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, KC, Houston, the Jets, and the Chargers have elite playmakers at the quarterback position, okay? The reason why I bring this up, it's not just passing, it's not just running. I mean elite playmakers, right? If you go down the list, and I know a lot of people might see Justin Fields and say, well, Fields is this, Fields is that. But when you have a guy that at any moment can take off and turn into a running back, that's an elite playmaker, right? So each team, the way that they're built, there's a lot of youngsters on their offensive line, each one of those six that I named. But those elite playmakers are able to make up for those mistakes, or as that you have those growing pains. Now, as I said, I like to be a listener, right? Lincoln Kennedy is my favorite Raider player that I like to listen to, because I know that everything starts with the offensive line. And all year, last year, the year before, Lincoln keeps saying the consistency of the offensive line. I think my expectations are tempered when I see that the starting line is not playing together in training camp and offseason workouts, right? Listening to you, Vinny, listening to Q, listening to all you guys covering the team, I see that the offensive line, they're not building that consistency that Lincoln always talks about, right? And mind you, as I spoke, you do not have that elite playmaker. Now, I do like Gardner. I do like AOC for what they are, but we have to know what they are as Raider Nation, right? So when you know what you have, then you're bringing in Gesicki with a new offensive scheme, new quarterback, new offensive lineman, right, that you're trying to install into a team with a run-first mentality, obviously why AP brought him in, to bring back that old physical play. But when your offensive line does not fit that scheme, I know a lot of our Raider fans are saying, well, switch it up, let's just throw the ball. You're basically telling the offensive coordinator to go against his exact makeup of why he was brought over here, right? For us that play football and, that listen more and watch football, we know that that's not how the game goes. You can't just flip a switch. Now, you should be able to make adjustments. And I think we've seen that in two quarters where a little bit of adjustments have been made. But these are not guys that you want slinging it across the field all day. This is where you lead to mistakes, especially when there's not one thing on the offensive line that's happening. When I go back and I watch the game, I usually watch it two or three times because I kind of focus on the offensive line. I see that it's different players getting blown up or misread. You might have times where both of the guys are blocking the nose guard, letting the tackle run free. Guys are getting beat straight off the line by the tackle or the nose guard. So I think that's the issue right now in the coaching staff. I think as Raider fans, we have to be realistic and understand, like you said, Vinny, this is a trial period. I know we hate to hear it, right?
Right.
Raider fans, we feel like we've been in trial period for 15, 20 years. But it's just, that's why we can't keep saying fire the coach. We can't keep saying fire this guy, because a lot of times I believe that the owner and the people have listened to the fans and saying fire, 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 and that's why you haven't built any consistency. So what we have to do is buckle in, allow these guys who get paid, we love the coaching staff. This is the same coaching staff that had us yelling AP at the end of the year. You have to let these guys get people healthy. You have to let these guys get some consistency and let that offensive line build. Like I said, I try to listen more than I talk. Lincoln Kennedy says it every single week. The reason why those teams are good back in the day, because that offensive line played together for years and they had dogs on that line.
Yep.
We have to play together. So be patient, Raider Nation. I have that 2-2 out of the first four games because I try to break the season down into quarters. So at this point, I'm not upset or disappointed at all. Now, obviously, I thought we would win the Chargers game and win the Panthers game, but that's just the Raiders doing what you think they're not going to do. So I feel confident about us beating the Browns because it's probably a team we shouldn't beat.
Raider Greg from the 916, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, that's why that loss, especially the way it happened to the Carolina Panthers, is so problematic, because that was literally the worst team in the NFL. And they're still ranked, I think, as the worst team in the NFL. I think the Raiders are slightly ahead of them, which is astounding considering how they got handled by them on Sunday. It's because the opponent was so bad. Now, they did bring in their veteran quarterback, and you suspected that it was going to look better because Andy Dalton, quite honestly, at this point, he might not be as talented as Bryce Young, but he's a better player than Bryce Young is right now. So you felt like, all right, their offense is going to look a little bit better. But against that defense, the Raiders' defense, you figured they'd be able to have their way, or at least control it. But none of that happened. And to lose the way they did to a team that's as bad as the Panthers are in the realm of the NFL, it doesn't give you much hope that they're going to be able to, whether it's the Cleveland Browns or anybody else. And they have some tough games coming up. They got to go to Cincinnati. They got to go to the Rams, who all of a sudden turned it around against the San Francisco 49ers, right? They have to go to Tampa Bay. They have to go to Miami. That situation looks a little bit differently now. But after that, after losing the way they did to arguably the worst team in the NFL, what confidence do you have that they can be consistent throughout the rest of the season to win the amount of games that they need to win to make a run at the playoffs?
Confidence, continuity, those are the things we're talking about now. Raider Greg brought it up. I want to cue up head coach Antonio Pierce post game Sunday. Listen to what he said when talking about the line.
So we got our ass. We got to put pads on. I don't know. I mean, got to get on the sled. It's the same group that's, you know, for the most part, all come back and same technique, same coaches. It's not a different scheme. So, either, you know, obviously we're going to have to coach it better and be some hard asses on the guys, and guys got to take some rough coaching, because that just didn't see that coming on either side of the ball. We thought we had opportunity to run the ball, and we didn't. We didn't do that at all. I mean, we tried and tried and tried, and I would have booed us too, you know. But offensively, defensively, we didn't do a good enough job up front. It's not good enough.
So that's what I'm saying. I completely agree with Raider Greg when he says Lincoln Kennedy, in terms of being the voice, you talk about offensive line and it starts with continuity. Antonio Pierce is sitting there saying it's basically the same group. It's basically the same group. We're teaching the exact same technique we taught when he was under his at the end of last year. It's the same messaging. Same scheme in terms of, I'm going to presume that he's talking about the run game and what they're trying to accomplish, at least initially.
Although we didn't hear that it was going to be different.
Right, and I'm sure it might have been. Maybe they were going to build toward it. I don't know, but I'm going off of what he's saying right now. He said everything's the same.
Because I think that was a question that I'd asked, which was, we saw Zamir White do this last year for four games,
confusion.
Which basically the same offensive line, except it was Jermaine or Luminor, not Thayer Munford. It was Alex Van Rooten, not Cody Whitehair. Dylan Parham was at left guard, not right guard. So there are some differences. It's definitely not the same. Let's be honest about that.
Thank you for putting that into context. But again, I'm going off of what
I hear. What Antonio is saying, but
I'm trying to answer Raider Greg and kind of get help him
right.
Explain. Antonio Pierce is saying they're teaching the same stuff. The messaging apparently needs to change. That's why I heard that in the sled comment, and we need to get in them a little bit more this week. It's just fascinating when he says that, and you're talking about continuity, but you're rotating guards out and taking out arguably your best lineman when trying to find the best five. That it all kind of leads to confusion. Again, more questions than answers.
Robert, Eddie, stay right there. We'll come back with your calls. It's Vince, Vinny, and Clay. It's the Morning Tailgate.
Raider Nation Radio, wrapping up hour number one here on the Morning Tailgate, 702-365-9200. More of the same from Monday. But guess what? Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports, joining us on the other side of the hour. Bit of a punch of positivity, I expect, in that 8 o'clock hour, Clay. But until then, let's see what the nation has to say.
Robert in San Jose, waiting very patiently at 702-365-9200. Go ahead.
Hey, Clay. Thanks for taking my call. Vinny, I wanted to know if you happened to catch Q Meyer's show yesterday.
A little bit of it. I was working. I had to write my story, but what was the gist?
Ryan Hogue, he had Ryan Hogue on. He was not very complimentary in regards to Luke Getsy's offense. In fact, I believe if you replay it, he called it a JV offense. No movement around, no putting guys in motion, no giving the quarterbacks easy reads. I found it very interesting that he was as critical as he was in regards to Luke Getsy, and I wanted to get your comments on that, if you guys could maybe replay his little bit with Q Myers. I appreciate what Ray Greg had to say. I think the Malcolm Kuntz injury is a lot bigger than a lot of us initially realized. That really changed the defense and the way we can attack offenses, and that was just huge. But I was more curious, Vinny, is to get your guys' response to what Ryan Hogue said yesterday in regards to the lack of imagination on offense.
Yeah.
Thanks, Robert.
It's a fine line, and I am neither here nor there with Luke Getsy. There isn't enough for me yet to really base a firm judgment on. I say that because, you know, when I was there during OTAs and mini camp and training camp, I just felt like, you know, I felt like the execution and the talent, especially on that offensive line, it left a lot to be desired. And I've talked to enough coaches that, you know, when they say that it all kind of starts there, and I just didn't have a lot of confidence in the offensive line. But I don't know how much to put at their feet, or is it the scheme, or is it the play calling? It's probably a little bit of both, but until they can clean it up in terms of their execution, it's hard to judge whether it's the coach, how much of an impact, the good or bad, the coach is having, because I just don't see the execution on a consistent basis. And so I'm not tooting anybody's horn, Luke Getsy's either, but it's hard for me to judge him as the bad guy when I'm seeing as bad an execution as I can on some of the simplest things, Vince.
You know,
losing one-on-one battles continually, or bad communication.
I get the question, and I didn't hear the interview, so I mm-hmm. can't specifically comment to what
the JV offense is pretty
what
damning.
He said. Yeah, I'm not going to comment to that. What I will say, I think you said it last week. You phrased it this way, and it felt like more of the same week three. Luke Getsy is fighting with one hand tied behind his back.
He is.
The entire basis, the entire foundation of what Luke Getsy, Antonio Pierce, because they work hand in hand. It is a symbiotic mindset in terms of how they want to operate on offense. That's why he was brought in. Is running the ball. Say what you want about Gardner Minshew. It doesn't matter. It almost doesn't matter how good Gardner Minshew is doing, how good he is not. Because this Raiders offense in totality is being judged, and judged poorly, rightfully so, because they can't run the ball. And when you talk about the execution, look, in OTAs, when they're running on air, Gardner throwing slants to Devontae, Brock Bowers on the out route.
I didn't really see much of that, but go ahead.
It all looks great.
No, it didn't, but go ahead.
It all looks great. Okay. You're missing my point. I'm not talking literally.
I'm hearing your point.
No, I'm literally.
If you're saying in a fantasy world that was happening.
In a fantasy world, literally anything on air looks great.
Yeah, but that, and I'm not trying to be argumentative to you, but none of that was happening, which was problematic. But go ahead, yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
In a real world with a real offense, when you see that in training camp, you're going, okay, but it's just training camp. It should look good.
Okay, what I'm saying You've said time and time again, right, that they have never been able to – the offense is never able to get, quote-unquote, on track.
It's terrible.
Whether it was training camp or whatever.
Yes.
The Raiders were wrecking the defense, whatever. We questioned, or I should say you questioned at the time, well, is it because this defense is really good or is it because this offense is just that poor? I think we're seeing two sides of the same
right.
coin. And, again, that's what I'm saying. So when I say everything looks good on air and in thought, saying, well – you know, when we get out there, it's going to be fine. The Raiders cannot block the run game. And when that is the basis, when that is the foundation of your offense, the rest of it doesn't matter. So I'm not against, like you, Luke Getsy. I think the jury's still out in terms of what this offense looks like, but I don't know if we're ever going to get to the point see what it is because they can't do step one. They're trying to do steps 5, 6, 7, and 8, get Brock Bowers downfield, get Trey Tucker the long ball. They can't get step one done.
And this fantasy world that people are living in, that last year was a good running season for the Raiders, it was good the last four games of the season. But there's a reason why the coach was fired. They were, 3-5, and Clay? Vince, you were there. Was there any semblance of a running game last year up until those last four games of the year?
No.
All right. This isn't a new problem. This has been going on now. It was great in 2022 when Josh Jacobs did
rushing
what he did.
King.
Right.
Yep.
Helped that Derek Carr was there as the quarterback. I mean, he had his limitations, but, you know, right? That was, you know, so that helped. And I wasn't trying to be argumentative but my bigger point is this. It looks good in there, and we have to always take that into account, right?
Yeah.
It looks good on 7-on-7 normally, but it didn't. It never did. And that was the biggest issue that we all had. It was like, it should look good right now. It should look good in 7-on-7 in shorts. It should look great. It always does normally, but it wasn't. And that was like, what's going on here? Is it the defense? Yeah, but no. Also, the offense looks terrible, and it looked terrible, and it has looked terrible, and it's continued to look terrible. And again, I don't know what is the main crux of that. Is it a talent issue? Is it the offensive line issue? Is it the quarterback issue? Neither of the quarterbacks look good at any point. We were standing there on the sidelines talking about it. So... you know, I wasn't...
No.
Because when you were saying that, I was like, normally, no, that is a conversation that you have. Like, it should look good right now, but how much should we put to... Well, it's just 7-on-7 on grass.
I think it's fine
in,
to...
With shorts.
It's fine to crush the offense. You have to, because...
There's nothing they've
done. They have not
done.
Put anything else out there.
Right.
My final point on this is you can crush the offense, that's fine. You want to crush Luke Getsy, it's fine. We have not been able to see... the full of what Luke
for sure.
Getsy because starting with the offensive line mm-hmm. and the lack of run game. That's
sure.
what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's fine with all the stuff, the 7-7. It didn't look good. It didn't look good on air. That's fine. I believe you. I was there. I saw it too. Didn't look great.
Right.
I get it. But when we're talking about right now and fans are saying, why doesn't Luke Getsy's offense look good in week 1, 2, and 3 in the NFL? I'm saying the main crux right now is you can't judge it because you can't see all of it because they can't do the
Luke's
basic
offense. Yes,
Luke's offense. You can't see the basic part of that, which is running the ball.
Yeah, but we can judge this offense. It's bad.
Agreed.
Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports joins us next. We'll also hear from Q Myers Show, Ryan Scott Hoag, his thoughts on the Getsy offense. All that and more is our second hour here on Raider Nation Radio.